Alrighty, good evening, everybody. Thought I would try a different opening soundtrack for tonight. I'm feeling a little Alan Parsons today. And it is January the 10th, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show. It's Wednesday, so Fake Nukes Phil will be here soon. In the meantime, I thought I would start the show off and just say hi. How you doing? And get everything going before Phil gets here. So just let me make sure we are streaming live on FakeoTube. FakeoTube.com is our video platform, and that's where we stream live. And tonight it seems to be working. And I'm going to open up the FakeoTube chat right now and make sure that's working. And then I'm going to read, maybe play a couple listener feedbacks and thank a new patron. We are value for value. So if you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate, where you can donate with a million different ways, including Patreon. I don't like Patreon, but we even take, what do we take? We even take Epic Cash, and we also take, what's it called? Oh, yeah, Bitcoin. And I see Phil has dropped into the studio, so I'm going to stop the psychobabble and say hi to Fake Nukes Phil. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Fakeologist?
Hey, I'm pretty good. You're not late. I just thought I'd start early and get some...
No, that's good. Yeah, I'd like to start early.
...business out of the way until you... it looks like you just dropped out of the ceiling onto the... into your chair there.
Kinda.
You're a little echoey tonight.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a different speaker on. Let me...
I can tell. Today, your audio is not that great.
Okay, so
it seems to be a trend. Yesterday, yeah, I can hear your mic pounding around there.
Yeah, I'm kind of covering it in a cloth. How's that?
It still sucks. What about the headset tonight?
Okay, maybe.
It's kind of funny because I was watching an Ernst Zundel video today. It was a really good interview, but whoever had the microphone interviewing him kept banging the desk. Oh, so annoying. It was jumping and thumping.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're a little better now.
Okay, I unplugged that speaker.
Okay, yeah, it was funny because you were really echoey. So I guess you're getting feedback. Is that what was happening? Does it matter? I guess not.
Yeah, it hasn't messed up on me before, but now I'm just on the standard speaker on my laptop, and it seems to always be pretty reliable.
So. Yeah, that's fine. I noticed you once used a headset with Gemma, but I guess you don't like using that.
Yes, it's unreliable. It
Oh, it cuts in and out?
Yeah, it brings my audio way down. And it whenever I'm on Gemma's show, my audio is always down.
All right. Well, she could turn you up though on her. I do have leveling, so it's up to you, because I think when you come with the headset over here, you're pretty good. I can jack your audio up on Restream. I dialed you down a bit to 81% because you were kind of loud, but I have soft. My audio processor for the podcast will boost you if you're low, but it doesn't do that for the video, so I sort of have two things going on there. Anyway.
Well, seems to be all right. I mean, I think we're good now.
All right, that's fine. I wanted just to quickly play a feedback from one of our listeners who I think is listening now. If my geolocation stats are working right. He sent me a message on SpeakPipe, and I will load up SpeakPipe now. Oops. So if you want to send me feedback, you can just go to SpeakPipe. Go to fakeologist.com/blog. And let me just bring it over to the screen so everyone can see it. Oh, that didn't work. Hold on a sec. I'll just play it. All right, here we go.
Hi, Fakeologist. This is John the Beggar from the south shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway. I just listened to your show. with Cupcake from Southern Florida, and she did a great job, and so did you. Loved your show. Thanks for all you do. Once again, John the Beggar from the South Shore of the St. Lawrence. Bye.
All right. Thank you, John the Beggar. I think he called in before once, Tort, to when you were on Big.
Okay. Well, yeah, he sounds familiar. Yeah, he's, yeah, he can call in tonight if he wants, you know.
Yeah, we're taking calls tonight. Fake Nukes is never afraid to back down from a challenge, I'm sure. And I'm sure your skin is getting thicker now that you've been out there.
Yeah, you know, yeah. If you haven't noticed, this past week I took on a couple guys that told some whoppers about 9/11. They claimed they knew somebody who died, and I said, okay. So we had to take them on, you know. Sadly,
where did you take them on?
Well, so the one guy provided some details about his friend who died on 9/11. And so I took those details, I put them into ancestry.com, and they didn't check out.
Oh, wow. Was he on the Victim Report list?
Yes, he is. The name he gave me is on the list of the victims. Yes.
Okay. What about in the Victim Report?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's the CNN list, isn't it? I mean, it didn't.
Well, yeah, but the Victim Report, I think, analyzes most of the people on there. Oh, so it might
be. Oh, yeah, you gave me that. Yeah,
it might be worth a look. I'm curious what they say about that.
Yeah, I should have cross-checked on that.
That might be an idea. Is that so that would have been your main website is on BitChute, and we all love BitChute. It seems to be working really well right now. And so you probably had a 9/11 video, as you can see. I'm using something different, so now I have to physically show you the screen. So there you go. There's your BitChute channel there.
Yeah.
And it's not all rubber babies. You got some 9/11 in there. This rubber baby is getting okay. You expose Strong Beer, Thief of Valor, Liar of 9/11. Is that it?
Yeah, because he claims to know someone, and so he's and this guy has supposedly rescued somebody out of the rubble, and it's just a real whopper. And so we don't do whoppers. We expose whoppers. And anyway, so.
Well, this is a video. So you went over to this channel here.
Oh, yeah. Strong Beer? His channel right there. And he obsesses himself over Brian Grossman. And so he's one of those type of channels, you know, that you know is not run by a real person. It's like an operative.
Oh, it's an op. Okay. Who's Brian Grossman again? Because was he one of your trolls?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Brian honeypotted me and pretended to be interested in the same things, but.
How long ago was that?
That was probably about a year ago. Yeah.
Okay. Because you've been around for about a year, right?
Yeah, a little over a year. Yeah.
So you found him. August.
Yeah.
So he found you on BitChute.
Yes.
And he glommed onto you.
Yes.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Supposedly interested in the same things, but he was only interested in taking notes on me. It's the only thing that Brian Grossman was interested in. So he took copious notes on Phil, and then he tried to fling it back into my face. It's like, you were taking notes on me the entire time, you freaking fraud. So anyway, yeah. So Brian Grossman is one of them too. And, you know, I don't get on BitChute so I can take notes of other content makers. You know, I'm on BitChute. You know, I'm here to throw ideas out and see, you know, because I'm pretty sure I'm not crazy, but I want to throw these ideas out just to make sure I'm not crazy. Right. You know, because I come to some wild conclusions. I don't believe it's possible that anybody died on 9/11. It's not possible. And so whenever somebody says they know somebody who died, I know they're lying. It's physically, there are too many laws of physics that were violated on 9/11. it wasn't real. It was a Hollywood production. I'm convinced of it. And so, but there are people on the internet who tell whoppers and who spread rumors about people dying on 9/11. And so if one day came along, I take them on one by one. And
so the first one you had, where does the conversation start on this one? Is it in this?
Actually starts in the comment section of Jim Rizzoli's channel. Well, if you go back a few videos, I posted a 9/11 rant.
I saw that.
Two days before that video you were just showing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They've been posting up a lot of videos. I mean, you know, rubber babies. There's
the
9/11 rant. I talk about how it's impossible that anyone died on 9/11. And so Jim took that video and he posted it on his channel, and that's where Strong Beer found me.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, Jim has 8,000 followers, so he gets all the traction.
So I get more exposure over there. And then he said, well, you're a nutcase because I know somebody who died on 9/11. I said, oh, you do? Well, let's get into the weeds on it. Okay, what's his name and what do you know about him? And so he offered up some details that weren't available on Google.
I got
you. For instance, details on the man's father. And so I was able to go into ancestry.com and find out that his father was not who he said he was.
Okay, got it.
And that's it. I had to start a free trial on ancestry.com, you know, a 2-week trial.
Upload your DNA?
No, I didn't have to. I didn't have to upload my DNA, but you know, just to prove this guy, you know, was telling whoppers. And so, but I did it, and anybody else can do the same thing. And so in that other video where I exposed Strong Beer, it's like, I show you how you can do it. You can just go into these websites and you can look up the ancestry of these people, and you can tell that they're not the same person. There's only one Jack Clear that signed up for the military during World War II. And it wasn't him. It was another Jack Clear that was born in Alabama. And so, the name Clear is spelled in a unique way. It's C-L-E-E-R-E. And that's not the usual spelling of that name. So when you just do a broad search, you'll see that there's only one guy by that name who signed up for the military between the years of 1939 and 1948 or something. And so he was caught in a whopper. And so I made a video about it and said, people out here who are telling whoppers about people they know who died on 9/11, well, you're going to have to come get through Fake Nukesville, right? I know that Cythorn used to do this kind of work. But Cythorn turned out to be like kind of a disappointment. But somebody needs to pick it up and continue and do, you know, the real job. These people spreading rumors on the internet need to be exposed. People need to learn that it's one thing to say that 9/11 was a false flag, but it's a whole other thing to say that 9/11 was a complete Hollywood fake show and nobody died. Because that's a completely different thing, because that means all of those people that we trusted lied to us. All those firefighters, all those police officers, all those port authority people, all the politicians, all the media, all of them were telling stories about how they were saving their buddy out of the rubble. They were all lies. All of them were lies. Stolen valor is what I call it. And a lot of people pretending to be heroes on 9/11, it's all stolen valor. And it's despicable, actually.
Yeah, that's for sure. I just brought up Jim Rizzoli's video, mirror of your video. Mm-hmm. And Jim was on the show last night, and we gave him some information on 9/11 from Lynn Ertel, who has a Lynn Ertel show here on Tuesdays, and she's been studying 9/11 longer than I have by a long shot. So she knows all the characters in this play. I call it, it's like a play. Now, even the truthers that are surrounding 9/11, not including Phil and I, of course, are part of the play, unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned. And that's one thing people just don't understand. And even the fight between Judy Wood and Jim, I think, is not genuine.
You mean Jim Fetzer?
Yeah, Fetz. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think it's genuine either. And Jim Fetzer had an Ace Baker committed suicide on Jim Fetzer's show. I mean, what the hell is up with that?
Yeah. And actually, Ace Baker was back on Jim's latest 9/11 thing. And actually, he's a pretty reasonable sounding guy if you listen to that show.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I get from Ace Baker. When I listen to him go for like an hour or two, he never mentions the crisis actors. Okay. He mentions all the video fakery, but it's like, Ace, you're leaving out a big, huge detail. What about the people that were telling whoppers? What about the people that were telling about how they saved their buddy out of the rubble? Come on. See, Ace Baker stays away from the crisis actors, and see that he's playing it safe. Ace Baker plays it safe. No, if you're going to go after 9/11, you got to go after these crisis actors, the people that told these lies on the news, you know, frankly.
Yeah, it's kind of important. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the main thing is nobody died, nobody got hurt. Not enough people say that.
Yeah. Well, Ace Baker says it, Ace Baker says it was a video. It was a fake video that we saw on 9/11. But it's like, Ace, that means that nobody died.
Okay. Well, he says the plane was inserted into live video. Yeah. That's a big difference. That would be very difficult to do.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't work, what are you going to do with an audience of the entire world?
Yeah.
You can't do a retake, guys. So there's no way you could leave that to chance. Yeah. That would definitely have to have been done way in advance, and then they play the movie.
Yeah, that is true. And
there's no way you could insert, there's way too many moving parts.
Yeah. And a lot is too much is made of that cloud that came out the other end of the building that looked like the nose of the airplane. I just think it's pyrotechnics that they lit off some pyrotechnics on three sides of the building, and one of the pyrotechnics just happened to look like the nose of the airplane. I mean, I think it was just a coincidence that the cloud of smoke came out looking like, but it was trying to, they put the pyrotechnics on that side of the building because they were trying to create the illusion that a lot of the aircraft had gone through the building and was kind of coming out the other side. And that's how they got the engine illusion, the one that was found on Murray Street. It's because they wanted you to think that the engine had gone completely through the building and flown all the way down to Murray Street. And so that's what the purpose of that pyrotechnic on that side of the building was about.
Yeah.
But it's just, but yeah.
Well, everything we saw, I think, was a movie. So if they left in that or put it in the movie, then I think it was just to create, the idea that a plane could go through and then drop all its fuel on the floor and then it lights up and then et cetera, et cetera. So that was just part of the, what they did for realsies, for anyone that actually was looking up that day, that's hard to say, because I don't think we have any video of that. And I'll keep saying that till the end of time. We saw no real unplanned video. Everything they released was on purpose.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt there was pyrotechnics on the day. I just don't think we saw it.
Yeah.
Even the stuff that's coming out years later or last year or the year before, I say, new footage. I don't think so. I think that's all manufactured. It's like the Zapruder film. That there was no video of JFK on that day. That nobody was video. That was not live. That was, I guess it was on the radio maybe. They might have described what was going on. But everything you saw in the Zapruder thing was, they took 7 years to make that. And it probably did take a long time to make that kind of footage back in the day, because there was a lot of cutting and pasting.
Yeah, it's basically a cartoon. You're looking at the Zapruder film.
So to analyze that is also a waste of time, I think.
Yes. But if all it does, all you got to do is just analyze it for like a quick second and put it on a loop. And that injury to his head doesn't look like a bullet. It looks like a piece of cow liver getting stuck to his forehead. It's like that's. And people say, well, didn't you see JFK's brains get blown out? I said, no, I didn't see his brains get blown out. I saw a piece of cow liver get stuck to his forehead. I didn't see any gray matter coming out of it. I didn't see any crack in his skull. You know, all you got to do is just put it on loop and watch it like 5 or 6 times, and you can see that there's no head injury going on there. It's something's being stuck to his forehead.
I guess in this post that Jim Rizzoli put of your video, you do get a little bit of grief because Jim is always saying you get a lot of hate, but I guess I don't read it all. I'm just reading through it now as you're talking. So you got Moon Guy 22 saying that you banned him, Moon Landing 22.
Yeah. Probably started, you know, calling names and stuff. And so I don't have time for people who engage on circular debates, and they're not really asking you honest questions. They're just sending you on a circular debate. I don't have time for that. You know, I respond to my comments as best I can, but there are people that just demand too much of my time in the comment section. I just block them. It's like,
They're just trying to soak up your time. It is a double-edged sword, comments, for sure. You can really get lost and waste your time in there. But yeah. I kind of like, as every now and then somebody is in there that's a pretty good commenter, and they'll post a pretty good thing. Like El Buggle, this guy's been around for 10 years. Ever since I started, I've seen this guy. I don't know who it is. I have an idea who it is. He might have a couple names. But he always posts a few good things, like information warfare. This link here is pretty cool. So I do like all that stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty much on the same page. Yeah.
I think he is. Yeah.
He could call in or, you know, to the show, and he could add some good information.
Yeah. He's been on BitChute for 6 years and 4 months. He's got nothing recent, but he's been around. I think he took a couple of years off because he seems to have resurfaced 3 years ago was his last video. So anyway, yeah, we could listen to him call in. If anyone wants to come into the studio, that's probably the best way to come in. fake11.com/restream. And make sure your mic is working. And that's one way to do it. And the phone lines are open, 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. We'll take a couple calls in a minute. I don't know if Phil wanted to go through anything in particular for tonight.
I've just been doing the usual, just posting up some crisis actors from Gaza. I've been, because they keep giving me so much. And so, and it's just, they're doing my work for me. And so it's like, wow, this. And I'm driving the point home because they're never going to get away with this again. This whole Gaza conflict is we're going to prove it to be fake once and for all. Because they like to recycle it every few years. They let the situation calm down, and then they have another, they shoot some more rockets into Israel. And see, there's no more recycling anymore. We're going to end it once and for all right now. This is all a hoax. And this Israel over there is not the real Israel from the Bible, okay? No. It's a hoax. And let's just set the record straight on what's going on over there. They're pulling a stunt. They're making money on both sides. It's just a business is what it is. The Jews control the hate industry. They want you to hate, and they don't really care which side you hate. And that's what the whole Democrat Republican thing is about. It's like the Republicans hate the Democrats, and the Democrats hate the Republicans. It's designed to be that way. And they don't care which side you're on. When you whip up hysteria on both sides, then people, you know, are spending money. The advertisements on the TV go up. The political rallies, you know, the tickets go up. You know, the CNN advertisement, the Fox News advertisements, they all go up. And so they're making money on all of that stuff. It's the hate industry. And this Israel Gaza thing is just another extension of the hate industry, and the Jews are making money on both sides. And it's so we're going to try to put them out of business. If little old me from Palm Springs can put them out of business, well then that'll be a good that's a good goal in life, is to try to put these people out of business.
That's one thing I've never seen so much Palestinian fakery before. I think this is new I guess it's not new because the Pallywood is an old thingy, but I never really paid attention to the why. I still get stuck. Why are the Palestinians in on it? Or something must be being promised to them, or I just can't figure that one out. Do they think they're all going to flee to the West? Is that what the plan is?
A lot of them are colonizing into Europe, and they're also getting paid off. The people think they know what's going on in Gaza. It's like, no, you don't. People will say, well, Gaza is like an open air prison. It's like, no, it's not. I've seen the tourism videos for Gaza. They've got a university over there. They're selling scholarships to their university. They're wanting people to come be tourists. They're advertising their beach area. Say, come visit our beach area. No, Gaza is just like every other place on earth. Okay, what you've been told, what you think you know about Gaza, we need to completely rethink this whole thing, because what Gaza is just this little studio set that Israel uses to perpetrate these this hate propaganda and to stir up emotions on both sides. And they make money on both sides.
All right, we got a caller in. Where are you calling from, caller, and what's your name?
Yeah, it's Rick in Arizona.
Hey, Rick.
Oh, Rick, I think you called in last week.
Yeah.
No planes. Hey, I turned on Skype today. Usually you used to call in on Skype. That's okay.
Yeah. You weren't on Skype last week, so I just...
I know. I forgot to fire her up, but it's on. Okay, go for it. I sound pretty good. What do you got? You got a couple fans out there, I think. They liked your call last week or the week before.
Well, I would like to, as far as 9/11 goes, get a couple of points I'll hit on.
All right.
In contradicting the mini nukes theory and in the space weapons theory, you know, the creature comfort here is basically RDX. When you have RDX, you don't need space weapons and you don't need mini nukes. It's RDX stands for depends on what website you go to, Royal Development Explosive or Research Development or Research Demolition Explosive.
Okay.
This stuff, this is the weapon of choice when you bring down buildings.
RDX.
When RDX snaps, the gas escapes at 27,000 feet per second. You don't need many nukes. This stuff goes through anything and everything, and it just depends on, you know, how much you need to use. And so I just don't see, on the day that where everything had to work perfectly, we were going to start experimenting with mini nukes and space weapons. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, who would be the engineer to determine, you know, how much of a mini nuke you would need in the foundation? And, you know, when you need to power a city with electricity, you need a nuclear power plant or coal power plant. I don't know where in space you would have these space weapons and this kind of energy to destroy buildings that took 5 years to build. And I want to touch on why I knew the first day when this happened, I knew it was the buildings, you know, were blown up, because when I used to go ice fishing, I used to use jet fuel to heat my fish house. Okay.
Oh, so
I
knew
that is not.
Is that kerosene?
Happen. Yeah, it's all it is.
Yeah, it's kerosene. Yeah. I got RDX on the screen here right now.
Oh, okay.
It's hexamine. It's a combination of hexamine and TNT and nitro.
Hexogen. And it, you know. Research Development Explosive. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, so you don't need mini nukes. I mean, this stuff is, you know, whatever you need to blow up, it'll blow it up. And it's malleable, so you can shape it and you can do what you want with it. I want to make a point on...
That's a good one. I'll put a link to this. I'll put a link to this in the show notes.
Okay.
Everyone needs their RDX education. I didn't really know about it. I think I've heard of it, but go ahead, next.
Yep. as far as... I knew this guy. I met a lot of people in the business I used to be in. And this one guy I met, he was a retired guy working at a laundromat. And he used to be the superintendent of a Chevron gasoline
gas station
refinery.
Oh, refinery. No, okay. Yeah.
And he said that our crew is way just as much qualified as any big city fire department. That's number that we are more tuned in on fire control than we are in what we're actually doing with the refinery.
Yeah, because if that thing blows, you're in big trouble, right?
Yeah. And he said that in the real world, if that was happening, they would never send 350 firemen up into the tower.
No,
they would have helicoptered in that survey crew. They would have came down and taken a look up what's going on. They would not send 350 people to their death climbing the stairs of a tower that they really had no way to know what was going on up there.
But Oliver Stone made a movie about the firemen.
Oh, well, whatever. Yes, I
mean, that was a bad movie.
Yeah.
After all, nobody questioned the fire chief for a dereliction of duty, sending 350 people up to their death.
Exactly. Yeah.
There was no investigation on that.
No, that's
true. Second of all, if there was anybody in those towers and they died, Larry Silverstein wouldn't have been walking around New York City with blueprints under his arm, building a new tower. They would have killed him.
Yeah, that's
true. They all know about Bush Lightning. The fire department has keys and access to every building. He never would have lived long enough to build another tower if all those people allegedly died.
Yeah, good point. I like that. That's a good one.
There's just too many movies out there where the gunman kills this kid's father, and he comes back and he kills the gunman. Somebody's going to kill Larry Silverstein over this if this really did happen, in my mind.
Yeah,
absolutely. There is no real victims. If my brother or if my family member died in the World Trade Center that day, I would have been camping out on the City Hall of New York City saying, what the hell did you guys pull yesterday? I wouldn't be going down to Kinko's making a poster of my brother. And then, you know, where they had the wall of all those posters?
The wall of victims, yeah. The wall of missing people, actually. Missing people.
Yeah.
They didn't even know. They just didn't come home that day.
Yeah. It's like they lost their cat. You know, that would be the last thing I would be doing. And so the fact that nobody went down and camped out on the front steps of City Hall proves that there were no real victims that day.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's these people too in New York City would never settle for 1.4 million. I mean, you know this chick that just this teacher, her name is Abigail something. She's Jewish. That 6-year-old kid that took a shot at her.
Where's that
story?
Which story? Oh, is that?
I remember that. And the teacher is like forgiving the student or something.
Well, here's the deal: the kid shoots the teacher. He's 6 years old. Well, now the teacher's suing the school district for $200 million.
Mm.
Okay. I mean, so everybody just laid down after 9/11, like, you know, so because basically, in my mind, nobody died. That's how they got away with it. If you had 3,000 people, they're all, let's say there were all these high-powered people up in those towers, their families would never let this rest. The fire department would never let this rest. But, you know.
Exactly. The organization 9/11 Families for Truth, after 22 years of researching the event, you know what they've come up with? They want to sue the government of Saudi Arabia. It's like, are you kidding me? That's what you've come up with after 22 years of researching this event. You know, that whole 9/11 Families for Truth is a fraudulent organization. They're a bunch of crisis actors.
Yeah.
What is your guys' stand? What you say that the Kennedy assassination is fake?
I think so.
So I think all of Kennedy's fake their deaths.
What do you think he did the rest of his life? He was only 42 years old.
He probably went to hang out with Elvis.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Sorry. Yeah, Elvis was a few years later. Never mind. But I have no idea. But he could just go live on the Greek island if you want with Onassis or.
Do people just really you know, throw their lives away for somebody else? Like I hear stories that Sharon Tate was never killed. Well, she was.
Yeah, I don't believe Sharon Tate was killed. No, I believe that whole Manson thing was fake.
They're supposed to have disappeared, right? And voluntarily threw their life away for some you know, ulterior.
Well, I think the president is a role. Do you think the president is a role? Joe Biden is making the role into a mockery now, and Donald Trump sort of is in the same way. So more than ever, it's clear that they play quite the role. When's the last time there was a serious president ever?
Yeah.
But look, what we have here is we start talking about JFK not being assassinated. We're letting a lot of people off the hook. Okay. And the evidence is, you know, very strong in the area that, you know, Israel had something to do with this. And I personally know a chemist from Interpol who said Menachem Begin was the number one suspect in that killing. So when we
in what killing? In Kennedy? Menachem Begin was the
Interpol's top number one suspect in the Kennedy assassination was Menachem Begin.
That's from Michael Collins Piper. He wrote that book called Final Judgment. And Michael Collins Piper also thought that nuclear weapons were real. And yeah. Michael Collins in 2008, I also thought nuclear weapons were real. And so it could be that Michael Collins Piper didn't know any better, but I might, you know, give him some credit. He made that, maybe he didn't know, but I kind of think that he did know. I kind of think that, and also Michael Collins Piper died at age 54. That's way too young. I think he faked his death. And, there's some problems with Michael Collins Piper.
No, he was sick. He had diabetes, and his leg, his feet were had to be.
He was healthier than me. he was healthy. I mean, I listened to his shows. I mean, the guy was very.
Because you have diabetes doesn't mean you're going to lose your feet if you treat it properly. Yeah, first-hand knowledge, right here.
Yeah, I agree with you in certain areas. And I've also debated other people about people faking their death. Yeah. And like Sharon Tate, who's been in a number of. You know, hillbillies, Beverly Hillbillies, and Jay Sebring, who was the world famous hairstylist in Hollywood. I mean, he was even in a couple of Batman episodes. These people just fell off the earth, and it was all fake, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of them reinvent themselves. And, you know, a lot of them all they got to do is just change their hairstyle.
Yeah, that's right, guy.
Oh, I got Dave J on the line. Dave J.
Oh, Dave J's here.
Dave J's in the house. You first had Rick from Arizona, and now we also got Dave J in the house. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave J.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead,
Dave. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead, Dave J. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I'm asking you, can you hear me?
I don't think you can hear me. I don't think you can hear me, so I'll give you...
I can hear you fine, but...
Go ahead.
I can hear you fine, man.
Okay, speak. You're on. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave J. Okay, I think he has a bad connection, so
I think we lost him.
Yeah. It logged him out, so.
Oh. He'll call back. I know he wants to have some words with me.
Yes, he does.
He'll call back. And so anyway, the death fakers, it's a real phenomenon. And I know that some people can't see how people at the top of their game would fake their death just so that they could go live on an island somewhere. And I don't think that's what's happening. These people, for instance, when Kobe Bryant faked his death in that helicopter crash, I mean, that was the fakest helicopter crash I've ever seen. There is no way that helicopter flew into that hillside. I mean, helicopters fly in fog all the time. And it crashed right on a hiking trail. I mean, whenever a helicopter crashes, it's always in the most inhospitable part of the mountain. This helicopter just happened to crash right on top of a hiking trail. It's like, oh, bullshit. I mean, you know, they can get to it real easy. I mean, they set off that little magnesium flare that, you know, that let off the white smoke. It's like, that's a stage prop. They had that little magnesium stage prop up there. It's like, that's not, they had only light pieces of helicopter up there that you couldn't see the rotor. You couldn't see the engine there. And so after Kobe Bryant faked his death, I'm thinking, no, where is he going to, how is he going to blend back into society? I mean, is Kobe Bryant going to put on a wig and go walk around the beach in Thailand or something? And so it was a very serious question. because Kobe Bryant's like the most recognizable person. He's like almost 7 feet tall. He's not going to be able to blend back in and change his identity. So here's where the map of the Earth becomes important, because I think they have a hidden continent. I believe they might even have a couple hidden continents, and it's real nice there. It's real nice there, and someplace where a rich person would want to go.
They don't even need a continent. They got Patagonia in South America.
Possibly, but I've seen pictures of recent pictures of JFK Jr., and he's been getting a lot of sun. He's got a big suntan on his face. So wherever JFK Jr. has been hanging out, it's really sunny. And I'm not talking about that Vincent Buccio guy that showed up at the Trump rallies. No, they've shown some recent photos of JFK Jr. that are him. And he's been getting a lot of sun. And also Carolyn Bessette, his wife. They've both been photographed together. And not those people at the Trump rally, not those people. Those were misdirection. That was to send you down the misdirection. And so, yeah, you know, the Kennedys, yeah, people need to step back and think about this Kennedy family. I mean, they live in the safest
troop.
They live in the safest place in the country on Martha's Vineyard. And yet they have all this tragedy that always happens to them. It's like, and they always are happy with the official explanation. It's like, all your boys are getting killed in mysterious circumstances. Shouldn't you be stomping your feet demanding answers? But the Kennedy family never stomps their feet. They never demand it. I've noticed when JFK's plane went down in the ocean, how the Kennedy family just swept it under the rug and just wanted to get on with their life. It's like, you're another one of your sons just died in a mysterious crash, and you just want to get on with your life. See, the whole Kennedy family's in on this. I'm telling you, I don't trust the Kennedys as far as I can throw them.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah. Who's on the line?
Oh, this is Rick from Arizona.
Oh, Rick. Oh, okay. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I know I hate to poop on your fake party, but you think Ricky Nelson faked his death and Ronnie Van Zant of Leonard Skinner?
Oh, I don't have enough information on them, but you know what? I suspect they did, yeah.
They're all hanging out someplace.
Why do you think they're hanging out together? How hard is it to just change your appearance even slightly? I don't know why you think. See, this is sort of one of those false choices.
You know, I tend to think that all these people that have ended up dead over the last 40 years, ever since the 67 war, have been knocked off the Jews in the entertainment industry. These people hate the Kennedys. And anybody who ever got an attitude toward the music industry, like Michael Jackson and Prince and Whitney Houston, they all end up dead. Yeah. I don't believe they fake their death. And I think when we talk about faking the death, we're taking people off the hook. And I think there's I like a lot of the stuff that you do, but the faking the death thing is, in my mind, you know, I have a hard time with it. I just don't see people throwing their life away.
Well, they quit the
limelight. Now they just disappear, right? They just go someplace else and nobody talks to them, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're taking them off the hook. In fact, they're guilty of trauma-based mind control, because that Kennedy assassination would traumatize the entire country. And so these people, if it was a Hollywood stunt, well, then they're guilty of traumatizing and doing it on purpose. And they're guilty of an MK Ultra style trauma campaign against the whole country. And that's what 9/11 was also, when they inserted the jumpers jumping out the windows. I mean, what kind of imagination even thinks of that? The same type of imagination that thought of the JFK assassination. It's just to, and most people, that's what they remember about 9/11, is the people jumping out the windows. And that's because it left a traumatic imprint in our brains. And these people are guilty of trauma-based mind control. And just because I'm saying that 9/11 is fake, I'm not letting anybody off the hook. That means these people are guilty of a huge psychological warfare campaign on a military scale against their own people. And that's not letting anybody off the hook.
I'm not saying you're letting anybody off the hook. I'm saying the people that say that mini nukes and space weapons are letting people off the hook.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Judy Wood, here's the thing. She taught at Norris Hall. the location of the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting. And she just happened to be absent that day. And her colleague, Vivu Lebescu, I guess he's from Czechoslovakia or something, but he was a Holocaust survivor. And he just happened to be there in her place. And he got murdered that day. And so, and Judy Wood would kind of imply in subsequent interviews that the whole shooting was about her, is that the government was sending that Korean guy to kill Judy because she had cracked the case on 9/11. And so, but she just happened to be absent that day. And so they didn't get her. And it's like, Judy, are you really implying that? And the fact that Judy Wood didn't ever admit that shooting was fake, tells me that I don't trust Judy Wood. I mean, she pretended that shooting was real. To this day, she's never exposed it. And so people don't know that Judy Wood taught at Norris Hall. It's like, well, that means you didn't listen to enough of her interviews, because there was a time when I thought that Judy Wood really had the 9/11 just completely nailed down. She had every single aspect nailed down. But then, and so I was listening to a lot of her interviews, and then I heard the part where she taught at Norris Hall. I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, that's too much of a coincidence for Judy Wood to be teaching at Norris Hall. It's like, no way. And because I know that shooting was fake, and Judy Wood is not saying that it's fake. It's, well, then,
yeah,
that's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Most school shootings are fake.
Oh, I think all of them are. Yeah.
Which ones are real? I think Phil, I think if I can speak for Phil, I think Phil is an auto hoaxer, and so am I. It's fake until proven real. All the way back.
Yeah, I think that tower shooting in 1966 in Austin, Texas, at that university, I think that was fake. I think the school shootings have been, I certainly think Columbine was fake. They they used mannequins there at Columbine. And of course, Sandy Hook was fake. And all of them are fake. Yeah.
Fake until proven real. It's a pretty good way to go.
Bill, I like your show. And I'm not going to be on board with like the Kennedy assassination being fake and certain things with the Black community, whether, Kobe Bryant faking his death and just, deciding to, fade away. I have a hard time dealing with that. But
Do you think of the Reagan attempted assassination? Do you think that was real? John Hinckley, et cetera?
I don't think Hinckley, if Reagan got shot, I don't think Hinckley did it. It's hard to say. That could be fake. I'm not saying that's not fake.
I think Fake Nukes Phil has done a lot of good breakdown.
Yeah, that Reagan thing was fake, and James Brady remained fully conscious. James Brady was not shot in the head that day, and that means the Secret Service was neck deep into that Reagan hoax. And so why would the Secret Service, it was only 18 years after their darkest day, because the JFK assassination was supposedly the darkest day in the history of the Secret Service.
A big failure for them.
And so 18 years later, they're going to pull this stunt with Reagan. It's like, no, that means the Secret Service was involved in all.
And how much did the Secret Service budget go up after that? Because this is the main reason for all these scams is more money.
Yeah.
I bet you it tripled. Because they just probably said, we didn't have enough people. Everyone was overworked.
And here's the thing. Abraham Lincoln faked his death, too. I mean, we have zero pictures of John Wilkes Booth. The United States government to this day cannot prove that John Wilkes Booth is dead because they forgot to take a picture of his dead body. It's like, are you kidding me? And here's another thing. They also forgot to take a picture of Abraham Lincoln's dead body. They didn't take a picture of nothing. They didn't even take a picture of the booth where the crime happened. The United States government didn't take a picture of a damn thing. And then they did that tour where they put Abraham Lincoln's body in a train and went like 3,000 miles back to Illinois. And that was to trick the American people that everybody saw it with their own eyes. Oh, I saw the train go by. Oh, I saw it with my own eyes. It's like, you didn't see shit. You just saw some casket in a train that drove by. And so that's how they convinced the American people that the assassination was real. And it's like, no, nobody saw nothing. And then they moved the casket around like 17 different times. You know, the Abraham Lincoln, they couldn't figure out where to put his body. So they kept moving it around. And then they were opening it up. And the last time they opened it up was in 1900 or 1901. And they forgot to take a picture again. It's like, you opened the casket in 1901 and you forgot to take a picture? The fact that they never took a picture. You know, there's nothing. You know, the Lincoln tomb that's in Springfield, Illinois? I want to go there and open it up. There's nothing in there. Okay? I don't know where Abraham Lincoln is buried, but it's not there. Okay? And all so right. They've been doing this. They've been doing this the entire time. Garfield, McKinley.
We got another caller in, Rick, so I got to let you go.
All right. Sorry for pooping on your fake party.
No, but, you're not pooping. Okay. You're challenging. We don't mind it.
And you know why they faked Abraham Lincoln's assassination? Is because the Confederates had a real case, because a huge crime had been committed against the Confederates. And so what they did was they faked Abraham Lincoln's assassination, and that made the Confederates behave themselves. One of your boys came up and killed our president, so you Confederates just better behave yourselves. And it worked. The Confederates behaved themselves, and they came back into the Union. And that's exactly why they faked Abraham Lincoln's assassination.
All right, exactly. Guys.
Thank you, Rick. Good call. Take care. Okay, new caller in. Or what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John the Beggar.
John the...
from the south shore of the St. Lawrence...
John, move right up to the mic so we can hear you, buddy, and turn off the stream if you don't mind.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. And Dave J., if you want to call in, just keep calling. I'll pick it up. You call again. Go ahead, John.
I agree with him that the Lincoln assassination was fake.
Okay.
But I have no doubt that when he did die later, they put him in the tomb. So if you open some of these tombs,
that
will be in there. And at the war memorial at, out in Pearl Harbor, a few years ago, they closed the USS Arizona. They dove down there to make repairs on the structure. Well, I think they dove down there to put some dead skeletal bones in there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because there's nobody in that. There's nobody in that ship. Yeah, that ship's empty.
No,
yeah.
There's nobody in that.
Yeah.
There's nobody at all. But I think all the presidents faked their death, too. I agree with that. And I even had this approach to me back in college, because I know there was a book back in the 1930s, I think, written by a writer who claimed that Lincoln had face cancer and that he was dying. And he wanted to put Andrew Johnson in there, so they did this little skit. And the Booths are still a famous acting family today. Powers Booth, that's a relative.
Is that a relative? Oh, yeah, he did Jim Jones.
Yeah.
You see that? Did you see that movie, Fake Nukesville, the Jim Jones story? That was back in the 70s. I watched that.
Yeah, that Jim Jones, the Guyana thing was also fake. The shooting at the airstrip was fake. And so if they faked the airstrip shooting, that means the whole event must have been fake.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I have no problem accepting that as fake. And I know many years after Kennedy had supposedly died, John Kennedy, rumors came out of a Teamsters local, and even some mob members claimed, because they were tied to that, that drivers had package deliverers to the Kennedy estate had saw Kennedy there in a wheelchair, and he looked like a vegetable, and he had Addison's disease. So that's probably where he died, there on that estate.
Hmm. Yeah, I would say you don't have to go to an island. When do you see any celebrity anywhere? Even if when's the last time you spotted Taylor Swift? She's supposed to be the most famous person in the world. She's not walking around. These people are quarantined and sequestered. So
I'm telling you, they live a totally isolated life, and you live in a gated community and on an estate that's even gated you're just not going to see them unless you're a personal friend of theirs, or like these delivery drivers.
They don't
happen to be there.
Delivery drivers don't get near them anyway. I am a delivery driver. You don't get to go up the driveway. They meet you at the gate.
Well, they claim this, and this was I remember when it first came out, and I knew some people who had relatives who were in the mob, and they claimed that it was true. So, you know, whether it was or wasn't, I don't know. I just have absolutely no doubt that these assassinations are faked.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The Chapman and the Hinckley were both friends of the Bushes, and I believe John Lennon faked his death. I don't believe Chapman.
That's Mark Stacer up in Toronto.
Who's that?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that's the same guy, but I know he's.
It's the second John Lennon. John Lennon was replaced a couple times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I believe they have stump doubles and they have body doubles. Yeah.
Yep. Well, not just that, just in the Beatles' career, when Paul came back the new person, I think they were all new people.
Maybe.
They were all wearing beards for that reason.
All right, we got Dave J. calling in, John. John, thanks for calling. Thanks for all your support.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, good call.
All right, have a good night. Take care. Okay. And Dave J. is trying to get through here, so you just have to let it keep ringing. It's like a regular talk show. You just let the phone ring because the answering service doesn't work as well. So eventually we will pick it up automatically there. What else we got more in the chat? We've got Krishna Resurrection is saying that he's an auto hoaxer, established 1983. Auto Hoax or GTFO. Yeah, I agree. That's a little song that Tim Osmond plays. Mad X has lots of tiny French islands in the Indian Ocean. Yeah, but why do they need to go there? They don't need to go there. They don't need to go to the island.
You know, they just change into a different identity and they just change a hairstyle. It doesn't take much. And you know, a thought that I have in the back of my head is that JFK turned into Jimmy Carter. And I just kind of keep it at the back of my head.
Have you been talking to Frank the Salt guy? Because he thinks Frank. The same thing. Yeah. But Dave J, do you think JFK turned into Jimmy Carter?
Oh yeah, that's a good match there. I've done that. Frank asked me
to you agree to with that
look
one?
Into it. So I, oh, absolutely. Okay. That's an easy one. Well, because you, the core group of actors and actresses is going to stay small. You're just going to have, and then once you know how to play a role, are they acting like a president? Are they acting like a senator? Do you see how the different characteristics? It's just like within movies where you have actors who generally play a role of the same as every other movie they're in, because when people see them, they kind of just remind them of what they would see at in that office, you know, like the CEO with the full head of gray hair, that type of idea.
I ain't buying that one, but anyway.
Well, you don't have to buy it,
If Jimmy Carter ever has a funeral, I'm going to be paying close attention to who attends a funeral.
Well, you think the Kennedy family will be
the Kennedys? So I'm putting Tim, I'm putting you in the no category. Gotcha. Check. No worries.
Yeah. So you think the peanut farmer, you don't think Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer and a butt?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Carter's political career started at about the same time that JFK was assassinated. I think he predates like 1 year that Jimmy Carter was running for the senator in Georgia, but they could have used a body double during that 1 year. And then, and if you look at the old photos of Jimmy Carter, they look like paintings. They look kind of manufactured, and the ears match and the teeth match. The teeth of Jimmy Carter and the ears of Jimmy Carter match JFK. I mean, it looks like Jimmy Carter had a little bit of work done on his lips and his nose, but the Kennedy family is known for plastic surgery. I mean, Mr. E did a good breakdown on the Kennedy family. Every single person in the Kennedy family has had plastic surgery. It's like they've got their own plastic surgeon in that family. And so it's not beyond make JFK into Jimmy Carter.
I should add two, which will help kind of.
Dave J, you got a really bad connection
between somebody.
That's why we're having trouble hearing you. Your connection is super choppy, and I mean super choppy. And now we can't hear him at all. So yeah, you're gonna have to get to a better connection there, Dave J. That's too bad.
So anyway, you know, the Kennedy thing is not a hill I'm going to die on. I mean, no. I could be wrong about the Carter thing. I don't think I'm wrong about the faking. I think they all faked it. I don't think I'm wrong.
Oh,
about
that I'm okay with. I agree with that. It's just the Carter thing is just
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to die on that hill. But so basically, I'm going full bore towards this Gaza thing, and I'm going full bore towards the 9/11 thing. And I for some reason, I feel those are big objects that I have a chance to crack open. And so, soft spots, as you will, a weak underbelly, something that I could do damage to as a single guy out here in Palm Springs.
What's this one you put of Buzzy?
Is
this a show?
Yeah, it's like an hour-long documentary about the fake moon landing.
Oh, okay. Dave, now you're on the phone.
Hey, is this any better?
Yes, your other connection wasn't working. Go ahead.
Oh, that's terrible. Yes. No, I just wanted to add the idea of the connection, let's say with Jimmy Carter and the JFK character. There's a spiritual aspect, meaning that these individuals are not quite the same as you and me. They're quite literally placed in this realm to be these different characters. And if you choose to watch the movie or the play, then that is your time, of course, expressing itself in your free will. However, the best idea is to call it all a hoax. Tell everybody who can hear you that nobody died, nobody got hurt. Do not false witness death and be free in Christ. That's the best you can do.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Well, no, I'm just let's talk about that. It seems like do you think it's best that you spend a lot of time dissecting and worrying about the script or the play that's happening in front of you?
Well,
if you already know it's not real.
Well,
how much time do you want to spend there?
Just 1 hour a day. on the show.
But you also kind of look though that if you have this whole existence that is quite literally, fake, it's a hoax, then what is the truth of the matter that is holding that plasma, that idea in place? If you can go to the out or to the boundaries of it, then you'll be able to.
Yeah.
And then once you're out, then your perspective changes.
Well, we're in it now. Fake Nukes and I are trying to help people get out of it by doing all the videos.
But I'm trying to help you get out of it. Because you and Fake Nukes are still in there, so you see how it's kind of like one.
But if I get out of it, then the show's over, and Phil can shut his channel down.
No, it's not, because there's so much more to talk about and to show and to share. The truth is out there to share. Once you stop sharing the lies and just different manifestations of the lie, then you can speak about the truth and share the truth, and then that offering. Is then taken in by the listener, and it's real, meaning that the next morning they don't have to remember it. It's they live by it now, and then everybody is built up, and soon they're standing on their own feet, and they're standing out and above the world. They're walking on the water. So then now, guess what? That's the only time they're qualified to reach down and pull somebody out, because they're out. You can't pull somebody out if you're not out yourself. It's like trying to pull somebody out of the pool when you're in the pool with them. It doesn't work.
All right. Okay, Dave. Yeah. Well, thank you for your words. Yeah. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Absolutely.
All Cheers. Right.
Yeah,
be blessed. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, Dave J. And glad we got that in. And Phil, we've been going about an hour.
It was good talk.
Always good. You never know where the show's going to go. We had a couple calls tonight. I got a couple of emails. I got a long email from somebody, but I can't read it now because I'm not sure I understand it. So I can't always do everything on the fly, but sorry about FakoTube. It was working, but now it is working as the show closes. So sorry about that, but everyone is on YouTube anyway. And the video will be uploaded to FakoTube when we're all done and deleted off YouTube. So what do you got this week, Phil? What's the next bit of research?
Well, I'm scheduled to go on Gemma's show tomorrow, and we're going to talk about some crisis actors from 9/11. And
that's good.
And then we'll see if
Jimmy's on, but he's not answering my email. So if you ever talk to him and you want to, if you want to come on with him, you can as well.
I think Phil's going through a busy time right now, so he's busy at work.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah, he works the night anyway.
Yeah, so he'll come back online when he's ready. And
guys had a really good show. I think I put that on FakoTube. That was a good show with Gemma. Very good.
Yeah, it's great to see Phil back putting his foot back in the water, and you know, this is where he belongs. And
I want to get Larry, the other guy that did I wonder where he's disappeared to.
Larry McWilliams. Got to bring him back out. Yeah.
He only made a couple appearances. He was on the Phil's forum. Are you on the Phil's forums? I haven't gone back. I know he's.
Oh, you know, I should, but I've been so, you know,
you can only do so
my BitChute channel is really takes all my spare time. And then I got to upload all these videos because they keep giving me all these fake videos from Gaza. And it's like, oh my God, I got to upload this one. I mean, because they're just so funny. I mean, some of these videos are just funny. And it's like, I got to upload them. And so, and the BitChute's just taken all my spare time. And, you know, I'm busy now too. January is historically a busy month because everybody's getting their projects done this month.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I've got freaking jobs up, just endless jobs right now. Yeah. I'm turning down jobs right now. Yeah.
You can only do so much, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, I put a link to your show with Gemma and Phil Jahan. That was a really good one. So I put it on FakoTube. I put it in the show notes for tonight.
So yeah. Really, nice.
Yeah. That's worth listening to. If you don't know who Phil Jahan is, I thought Fake Nukes Phil for about 30 seconds was Phil Jahan coming back, but no, they're separate people for sure.
Reincarnation, yeah. Well, hopefully we complement each other, and hopefully we can do some damage.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is I have been looking into the Canadian, well, he wasn't a Canadian, he was a German named Ernst Zundel, and it's really a fascinating story. I met up with Ernst's videographer in the flesh because he lives in Canada.
Yeah.
And we met up last Sunday and chatted for a couple hours. And Ernst is a fascinating story. Like most people just in Canada equate him with a nut or Hitler, but this guy was a very smart guy. And I consider myself and Phil smart guys too. And this is what could happen to smart guys. Now, this video here, I'm not saying this by way of fear mongering, but I just wanted to point out that if you guys wanted to ever do some research into people that have come before us in what we're doing now, like here's something really interesting. Did you know that Ernst had a photo retouching business? He was in photo fakery as a business for 30 years. I'm not saying he's fake, but what I'm trying to say is that he was a professional photo retoucher. Now that's a bit of a lost art. I guess it's a business that no longer exists. But for instance, he would take pictures like this and retouch it into this.
Okay.
Or watches like this prototypes and retouch it into
and I had returned this retouching.
Okay.
Or faces like this.
To Toronto. And if you look at with, the bloodshot eyes of this
the previous
lady,
one, she had a red eye.
Oh, okay.
The right customer was
and
very
pimples
happy.
And other
to
things.
Toronto.
And he retouches
and
it to this.
Eyes
so this,
of this young lady,
my point is, he was
face,
a media faker in a way.
Eyes,
and I thought that, and he made a lot of money at it. Apparently, it was a big business because you're basically an artist at that point. Now, nowadays, you press a bunch of buttons. I'm sure it takes some talent to do Photoshop, for sure.
Yeah.
This is artistry. For instance, this thing here, he turned this commercial where they took a picture of this guy, a picture of the car, and a picture of the boats, and they mashed them all together, and it looked kind of poor. And then they come to Ernst, retouch it, and he turns it into
make reports. Christopher
turns it into this.
Times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I understand that they do that. I understand that most of the images that we see have been retouched.
This one here shows.
So they've been ever since the camera, they've been playing games and faking stuff.
Yeah. My focus is on the pictures that they don't take, the pictures that are completely absent from the record. And see, so that's a little different than what Ernst Mandel was doing.
All around,
and
very,
like
very
an
skull,
event like Pearl Harbor, they didn't give us a picture of nothing. They didn't take a picture of any of the dead sailors.
I mean, yeah.
So there's no retouching even involved in that. They just didn't even take the photos. And the reason why they didn't take the photos is because they didn't exist. That's why. Because there were no dead sailors at Pearl Harbor.
I agree. Now, the last thing I just watched before I came on with you is he did an interview in 1998, and he was awakened in the 60s because he was told that Germany was bad, Hitler was bad. He was given the whole thing, and he literally left Germany to get away from the Americans starting up a new German army, and he was a pacifist. So this is a really good story, and he got put in touch with a Canadian... I don't know, National Socialist, I guess. There was a Canadian National Socialist, last name is Arcan, and Ernst went to talk to the guy because the guy said, well, you sound like a smart guy, come talk to me. And he was German, or he's Irish, actually. And he woke Ernst up to the reality of the world in a three-hour talk. So that's when Ernst was told that everything you know is upside down. And so there were fakeologists back in the 60s that's the point I'm trying to make. So there's there's a lot of history to what we're talking about here.
I remember Ernst Mandel made a comment. He said when the Vietnam War was starting, he said that it's impossible because they were saying that we're going over there to fight communism. He said that's impossible because you've got a communist country just 90 miles off the coast of Miami. Exactly. And so why wouldn't you start there? Why are you going on the other side of the earth and fighting a communist country over there in Vietnam? And so Ernst Mandel knew that this fight against communism was a hoax, and it is. America has never fought communism. America is best friends with the communists. America is the father of communism.
Absolutely. Well, they allied with the communists to get rid of the nationalists.
That's why we live in a world where you can't trust anything from the media. It's because we live in a Soviet state. And that's why we default on fakery is because
it's international socialism, not national socialism. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Or other words, otherwise called communism, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, you think we're doing something original, but there have been people before us doing this just in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really interesting to hear. Because the guy he went to see, you won't recognize the name of that guy. And I don't know what they did with him in Canada, but I can't remember the name. His last name was Arcan. I did look the guy up before, but the point that you and I don't know who that guy was, it's just proof that they suppress things and ignore things, and you just never hear about them.
Yeah.
And these guys were trying to say similar things to what we're saying, and they got shut down. So I just pay a little tribute to the people that came before us because
absolutely. I'd like to stand on their shoulders and go a little farther. I think that's what we're doing. We're standing on the shoulders of Ernst Mandel and going a little bit farther. That's what I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for all that you do, Phil, and we'll have you back Wednesday. Thank you for giving us the hour, and we'll tune into Gemma tomorrow. Is that when does that get released?
By tomorrow night. Yeah, Gemma's good at doing it the same night. Yeah. She's a trooper.
She is. Ask her about the Richard Hall case. I wouldn't mind if you look into that, see if that's real.
Yeah, I'll see if she's got an update on that. Yeah.
That's another fishy one. It's kind of like the Fetzer or Alex Jones,
Exactly like the Fetzer one. Yeah.
Yeah, you think the same way as I do then. Yeah. It's a template.
Yeah.
All right, Phil. All the best. See you next week.
Yeah. All the best. All right. See you later.
Bye bye. There goes Fake Nukes, Phil. Thanks, everyone. Good show. And don't forget, value for value, if you like the show, do what Flatso did. Flatso came in and he made a donation and he joined the Fakeologist forums. And here's his introduction. Hi, Ab. Thanks. And thanks for all that you do. I like your style. My username at the forum is Flatso. So you can put that on the donor list. Guess I should do an introduction here to say hi to all Fakeologists. Been following you for a couple months now. Great mix of guests. Rubber Nukes and Dave J have helped me see through war. It's all lights, camera, action. Hitler was just part of Albert Pike's 100-year war school play we see ourselves in, though. I mean, look who backed him. All carefully managed, all actors. Check Miles Mathis for all this, who I believe has just outed himself with his virus paper. Would like your take on that. Yeah, I think I discussed it, but maybe I'll bring it up again later. And yeah, would love an interview with Lookout Facciali on YouTube. I don't know that guy. I'll have to look him up. Who has some interesting ideas on TIs. And I'm not into TIs too much. And this phenomenon being linked to fungal infection. Ooh. Yeah, I'd like to get What's-Her-Face on here too. I don't know if she does interviews, but I'm a patron of hers. This is a strange realm. I got my rude awakening in 1999. Wow. All right, well, come on the show, Flatso. Call in. I'd like to have you on. But anyone who wants to join the forums and give an introduction, just go to the introductions page here, and you will see we have many, many, many people who introduced themselves. I just pasted Flatso's email in here, and maybe he can respond to his own introduction. All right, don't forget we're on BitChute. Fakeologist.com/BitChute. There are lots of comments in there and too many to read. We upload all our shows to BitChute. I do enjoy BitChute these days because of the commenter. So you can go to our BitChute page at Fakeologist.com or Fake11.com/BitChute and see all the comments and all the views. And yeah, so tomorrow's Thursday. Frank should be on, and on the weekend I'm probably gonna interview Ernst Sundel's videographer. We're working on that. That should be interesting. We're gonna just go back in time and do some Fakeologist history just to mix it up. We like to keep things mixed up here, makes things more interesting. Never a dull moment here. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow. And enjoy till next time. Have a good night.